10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, lift off.
Somebody call Mr. Peabody and Sherman. I think we need the Wayback Machine. To when everything was still operational. Oh, wait, it's still operational. It's me that was broken. Truth is a funny thing, isn't it? Even when truth is picking on CM Punk on Twitter. Greetings, good evening, how the hell are you? Long time no talk. It is 1 minute after 9 o'clock in the Central Time Zone. It is 1 minute after 7 on the West Coast. Welcome to Beyond Ringside Live, the Shooters Gallery Edition. Live from beautiful Birmingham. Y'all know I call it Birmingham anyway. What the hell am I trying to act surprised that I said it for? I am the Magic City Motor Mouth Fast Study Lane, welcoming in tag team partner, Zerdreas Ted Guinness. What's up, buddy?
Oh, you know, just basking in the arid, cool weather that has found its way in the Pacific Northwest. Beautiful day today, 72 yes. All the way through the afternoon, just bopped up to 80 and it's starting to cool off. This is the type of time of year that I really like being up here.
You lucky devil.
I'm not lucky, I'm smart.
Go ahead.
If I was lucky, then I would have walked into like a porta potty somewhere off or like one of those rest stop bathrooms.
Yeah.
And been magically teleported here, that would have been lucky. But I actually made the conscious decision to move here, so that makes me smart.
Meanwhile, in Birmingham, I think it was with the air quality index in place and everything else, it felt like 103.
I'm glad I got out of there just the right time.
You did. And then all of a sudden, the sun disappears and everything balances out. I think when I finally pulled into the driveway, it was like 81.
That's still so. I gotta tell you that I was in southern humidity for less than 48 hours. And within that less than 48 hours, my skin dried out. My depression came back. I gotta say, just being in Atlanta reminded me of why I hated living in Atlanta.
That's weird because I actually like it over there.
I use just Atlanta for just a general region from where I live, but just anywhere in the South, really. I mean, it's okay. Just driving through Alabama. And this is, again, I grew up in California. I live in Idaho now, so I'm used to the more deserty, mountainous, foresty type of, dry type. I think it's something with the humidity in the South, with the kudzu and everything. It just affects me in a negative way.
I am sorry.
I don't even know how to say it. But, I think the only saving grace for me being back in town last weekend was the fact that it was overcast and we had that tropical storm coming in.
Yeah, really.
Because it kept the temperature down, the humidity wasn't insufferable. But I've got to say, I'm glad I booked my flight for 6 o'clock in the morning, because by the time I got on 75 North, heading toward the airport, you could not even see the lane lines in the road. It was raining that hard yeah. and just so slick and everything. And I forgot how bad your roads are.
Atlanta roads aren't my... I didn't pave the damn things.
Well, I'm using yours as a generality. Again, I'm spoiled. I live where IDT actually takes care of the roads. It was scary. And then just getting out of that storm before the thunder hit, I was praying to all sorts of deities that I have previously no relationship with. So,
funniness. First off, thank you to everybody catching us through all the different means, whether it be through Podomatic, Spreaker, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, Spotify. The list continues to grow. And I'm very thankful for that fact. We're making... okay. Let me explain radio silence. It's not for a lack of content. More than anything else, it's for a lack of time on my part. Now, there are those who would sit back and say the same thing that I said last night in a message or this morning or something like that. Yes, there are a couple other people who actually have full studio setups, but they also have lives. I mean, one of the things that Ted has going on right now, of course, is the DWF, the Digital Wrestling Federation. And plus, as we're getting back to NFL football season, you're also going back full scale with Beyond the Red Zone, right?
Yeah, Beyond the Red Zone returning. Excuse me.
It's that eight.
Yeah, Beyond the Red Zone returns Sunday, September 12th, 1 p.m. Eastern, both on Twitch at twitch.tv/beyonddre, or I made it easier for people to find beyonddre.com, and then click on the Beyond Sports series. That'll take you to the information page. I have a great contest with some great prizes this year. Eddie, if you're near a computer, you may want to pull this up, because I think you'll be interested in the grand prize. So what we did, we kind of did a similar thing on Beyond Ringside last year, where we would pick five games, you know, and it would carry over. We did that with Red Zone last year, and it was kind of just like a last-minute thrown-together thing. This year what we're doing is we're running a contest. You have to pick a minimum of 10 weeks to be eligible to win the prize. And the way we determine the winner is going to be based on highest winning percentage. So if you want to go all 17 weeks and take that risk, you can. If you only want to do the 10 weeks and strategize and pray that it holds up, you can do that as well. But if the grand prize winner beats my overall record, there is a kick-ass custom title belt in their future.
Ah, very nice.
But they've got to beat me, and they can see that at beyonddre.com.
Very nice.
And then also the live feed, if you actually want to watch Red Zone from the website, just click on more on the drop-down and then hit live stream, and you can watch it there as well. So if you are absolutely adamant against Twitch or don't know what it is and technology scares you, website makes it easy.
Yes, it does. But I'll sit back and say Twitch is not that difficult.
You'd be surprised at how many people that I've talked to, especially like, you know, I don't consider myself a big streamer. I'm only sitting at 375 plus, I think 377 followers, and I'm on the small end of some of the bigger groups. But like people that have 30 followers, 40 followers, you know, and they're complaining. It amazes me how much these people think that they're going to be able to turn on a camera, start streaming a game, and hundreds of people are going to start watching it.
Oh, God, no.
They don't understand the grind. You know,
been there, done that.
And everybody seems to follow everybody else. So if one person starts playing Call of Duty and it gets popular, then everyone's going to start playing Call of Duty.
Right, got that.
Same thing with Fortnite, same thing with Grand Theft Auto, same thing with MLB The Show, same thing with Madden 22 that just came out.
Yeah, there's a lot more to it than just plug and play. There's a lot more work involved in that. Trust me, as someone who built this station in different incarnations and will probably be doing a rebuild again, it's an ongoing process. Just when you think you've got everything aced and the science down, it's like, here comes a new curveball. Ooh, didn't think of that. Let's do it.
Yep. Like right now, the last thing that I need to do to get Red Zone up and running is I need to figure out how to get my phone line, my PBX system on my laptop to feed into my computer so that I can take calls, and I've got to switch microphones to be able to do it. It's a nightmare. So, yeah, I'm still going to have the phone line. I just may have to do it a little bit differently this year.
Yeah.
But, you know, yeah, I'm excited. And there is actually a bit of a buzz that I wasn't even aware of. I have people that have told me that, you know, they watched Red Zone last year and they thought it was better than anything that was on NFL Network during the football games, ESPN. the Fox halftime shows or pregame shows or anything, because it's not about me trying to flex my muscle to impress Joe average viewer about how smart I am because I played football. It, for me, it's about I'm going to give you the information that you're not getting in a real-time fashion. Who has the ball, on what yard line, how much time is left, who is in the red zone, and then we'll get into topics and conversations that are pertinent to that week's game. I'm sure conversations for week one are going to be dominated by Trevor Lawrence with Jacksonville, Matthew Stafford in Los Angeles, the return to stadiums having full capacity fans, whether that stays or not with the COVID surge and everything. I mean, there's going to be a lot of topical things, but I'm not going to sit here and try to break down the intricacies of a nickel defense against a two-back offense with split receivers.
Right.
That's not my purview, and because I talk about it on an approachable level, people appreciate that, and I think that's what draws people to that type of a program.
I've checked it out before. It's a lot of fun. I just wish my schedule would permit a little bit more often because slight shift on this one. I mean, with everything happening through Full Range Entertainment and Elvis Rob Productions, I'm hitting into a very busy time in about 2 weeks, starting with the second weekend in September, going all the way through the end of the year. I actually think I have maybe one Saturday free now. I've actually been taking weddings and receptions on Sundays as well. And there are some weekends right now, one per month through the end of the year, where I've got one on that Saturday and one on the Sunday. It's like, oh boy. So needless to say, I'm getting everything lined up to start working on all of that going through the end of the year. Therein lies the kicker. Because I told everybody recently, and if you have me on social media, you've seen the fact that I have a beautiful working arrangement with a nice little place in Birmingham called Steel Gastropub. I have started hosting karaoke on Tuesday nights there, 7:30 p.m. to 11:30 p.m. Kitchen open, bar open, microphones open. That's the easy way to say it. Well, we've been building Tuesdays to a point where the numbers are increasing and everybody's becoming happier by the week. And the GM and the owner are of the mindset that they were also considering doing something on Thursday. So starting this coming Thursday, 1 week from tonight, I believe that's September 2nd, I will actually be hosting down there on Thursdays, same time slot as well. With everything happening, it's been chaos down on my side of the board. There have been times where, because of weather situations that we've dealt with, Spectrum has dealt with outages. We had an outage yesterday that stretched into today. And I finally got a phone call going, everything should be back up and running when you get in. Make sure to reset your router, reset your modem. If it's not up and running, let us know. We'll figure it out as quick as we can. Then from there, also, work scheduling has been a pain in the ass. And not just with me, but with everybody. There have been weeks where I've been able to, but Zerdreus and Shane have not, or Shane's been available and the other two of us haven't, or Zerdreus has been available and the other two of us haven't been. And it's honestly just been hit or miss trying to get everything together. And because of the fact that Shane does have his work schedule, Zerdreus has his work schedule, and I have mine, we haven't been able to line it up recently. There may be some other changes coming up, possibly to Thursday, definitely to Sunday as well. So, but see, once again, it would not be a every week situation due to the fact that I know that there are things that are going to come up with Ted and Shane, as well as with Sundays, because as I just said a minute ago, I'm booking weddings on Sundays too. Sorry, bills don't pay themselves.
And I'm doing ridiculous things one Sunday a month through football season, starting let me get my calendar here. I want to make sure I get the right date. I think it's September 29th. No, September 26th, the last Sunday. So week three of the NFL, I'm doing Beyond the Red Zone from 1 till 4, 4:30, depending on when the two featured games end in the afternoon. And then I'm turning right around at 8 o'clock and presenting a pay-per-view.
Right.
And that's happening September, October, November, December.
Right.
And so I've been thinking about this. And last year almost didn't do a Super Bowl Red Zone, but my wife told me that I needed to. I've been on the fence about whether I actually want to do playoff Red Zone on Sunday, just because it would be nice to, especially with the added week to the NFL schedule, it would be nice to have a little bit of a break before we get to the big one.
Right.
But then again, how reputable of a outlet would I be trying to produce a football-related product if I didn't cover the most important part of the football-related product, which is the playoffs? So, you know, it's so weird working for yourself in a sense, and then also while working for yourself, you're still answering to the other people in the household, because you got to make sure your schedule doesn't interfere with them and everything. And, you know, I'm just going to go right out and say this. If it wasn't for my wife being super supportive about this, any normal woman probably would have, like, choked me to death by now. And then dragged my body out in the street and lit it on fire. She actually supports my crazy scheme. So
I thought I heard her giggling in the background.
Yeah, she's giggling. You know, she's essentially the lowest Griffin of my Peter Griffin. That's exactly what we are. I'm Peter Griffin with all the crazy schemes, and she's the voice of reason.
I'm resisting the urge to go old school Stewie and just go, damn you, that woman. Okay. Sounded more like Montgomery Burns than Stewie, though.
Yeah.
Smithers. Excellent. Smithers, get me my whip.
Ooh, that's good.
Thank you. I still got a few voices in the arsenal. And some of the other voices are still just hanging around up inside the head. Speaking of, let's go ahead and shift topics for a hot second, because there's some things that have occurred in our absence. Let's go ahead, and I'm going to hit one of the down notes right off the bat. A couple of days ago, losing a rock and roll legend in the name of Charlie Watts. I found it honestly not much of a surprise, because I knew that the Stones were having to deal with situations, but unfortunately. And I knew that Charlie had been on again, off again, sick for a while. But according to the press release that was laid out there, he passed away quietly in his sleep, and leaves behind a tremendous legacy in the realm of music. And, you know, I'm one of the first ones to sit back and say the Rolling Stones are not one of my favorite groups of all time. But by that, I genuinely mean not in my top 30. But they have some songs that I genuinely enjoy. And in this circumstance, I know what the Stones mean to a lot of people over the course of the years, especially in my age bracket. You know, when you've had the longevity of the core members of the Stones and have been able to do as much as they have all around the world. Like I said, the legacy that Mr. Watts leaves behind is one of just being able to continue to keep going and rock it out every chance you get. And so my heart definitely goes out to family and inner circle, friends, colleagues of Charlie Watts. Once again, we lost one of the great ones, and I'm just hoping that they can find peace and celebrate the life and the legacy that he left behind. Is your dress?
Well, I mean, he's still going to be on tour with the Stones. I mean, hell, Keith Richard died 25 years ago, and he's still playing. So,
yeah, pretty much. No, there's three things in this world that survive a nuclear holocaust or the zombie apocalypse. One is Twinkies. The other, roaches. Three, Keith Richards.
You're probably not wrong with that. I'm not a big Stones fan. I didn't grow up. I was. First discovering music in like 78, 79 when I was like 3 and 4 years old. And the Stones were just kind of like on the outside of my periphery. I grew up listening to like Fleetwood Mac and Journey and stuff on 8-track. But every once in a while, you throw in the Stones' greatest hits on A-Track. Let me tell you something. You know, for all those people that like vinyl and think vinyl is the best sound, A-Track is the best sound.
Of course.
And I'll take the Pepsi challenge on that 8 days a week. And it's always a tragedy. It's always a tragedy when an icon of any industry passes, whether it's an individual icon, say, like, if Garth Brooks passed away, an individual icon would be lost. But, you know, as one of the core members of a legendary band passes away, you know, it's felt a little bit more, because not only does it affect the fan base, it affects the fans, and, you know, it kind of brings everyone together some sort of weird musical harmony. Yeah. And for a second, everyone's on the same page. I don't know if any of that makes sense.
It may
probably not.
It actually did perfect sense in my world.
Okay, great, because I'll have to listen back to it, because I have no idea what the hell I just said.
That's my gimmick.
Mine ain't a gimmick. Mine's real life. I'm walking it 24/7.
You and me both, kid. Now, of course, also in our absence, we've had everything from SummerSlam, the advent of CM Punk, the return of Becky Lynch, the return of Brock Lesnar, the summer of Cena, and, of course, Charlotte winning yet another championship in WWE. Jericho completing the five labors of Jericho and losing that fifth match to MJF, who I still say is one of the best heels going today. And, of course, the reformation of RK-Bro, which culminated at SummerSlam with them winning the Raw Tag Team titles. This, I'm going to play with that one for a second, because Matt Riddle, and I'm using the first name, screw you, Vince. You ain't paying me. I ain't doing what you say. You want to pay me? Then I'll listen. The way that he has progressed has been something to watch. And I genuinely, on camera, the camera loves Matt Riddle. And he is one of those that you have a divided camp. You have some that actually like him and enjoy what he does, and you have others that's like, how is he still on TV? And almost said TiVo. It's like, holy hell, no. No, just stop the insanity. And the way that the storyline had gone with him and Randy, I thought they built it beautifully. I was asked a question, matter of fact, today, other than once in a lifetime, best 2 out of 3, could I name a storyline in WWE that has genuinely gone over 60 days? I didn't think about it at the time, and it hit me a few minutes ago. Riddle and Orton. That's actually gone on for a couple of months. And then with the return of Orton, you thought everything was going to be good. Then all of a sudden, yep, week one, lays him out, RKO. But still, that got turned into a meme. Especially after Riddle started smiling. Then you go from there the next week. Randy leaves him high and dry, but Riddle comes back out and saves the day. Then you get it to where, yep, kid, you earned my respect. And then without even consulting Randy, RK-Bro is going to challenge for the Raw Tag Team. And just the intensity and emotion that Riddle put out when he said that about challenging for the tag straps. I'm sitting back going, this is cool. And I think it kind of actually surprised Randy a little bit that the kid had that much intensity to him. And then, of course, they went over with the belts and then the subsequent celebration on Raw, all of the above. But I think that has been probably one of the better storylines. The way that they have built this and continued to ride with it and haven't run it in the ground. Ted?
Yeah, not only is it one of their better storylines that they've done in a while, it's one of the better storylines that's involved Randy Orton in a while. I've always viewed Orton as being drier than wallpaper paste.
Okay.
And none of his feuds ever excite me. Going from the Evolution battle with Mick Foley to the babyface turn after he wins the title from Benoit. You know, all the Legend Killer stuff, and then the, you know, it's just nothing really about Randy Orton ever gripped me as an interesting storyline. And this is probably the best one that they've ever done because it's logical that Randy would be impressed by Riddle's moxie and refusal to give up and earn the respect. There's a legitimate reason for those two to team up now. Unlike you get like, hey, Mandy Rose and Dana Brooke, you're blonde. You're teaming up now. Hey, random person number one, you've got the same kind of tight design on your tights. You're going to team up with this guy who has nothing on his tights, and you're going to make it work. It you know, retribution. Enough said about that. You know, so there's been teams that have been thrown together that absolutely make no sense. And it's the ability of the characters to get it over. And I think the last one that we had like this was The Bar.
Yeah.
Where Cesaro and Sheamus, they didn't want to team up against each other. They were forced to. And then again, it comes down to they earned each other's respect.
Right.
And here comes the key word that I think has been missing with a lot of WWE presentation is respect. And I think that storylines are built on respect. Look, I hate your guts, but I respect you.
Right.
Okay, now I'm invested. You slapped my doll during a stupid talk show segment. I am not plopping $50 down for a ticket to see that crap. So I think it really, if anything, it adds more credence to how important Riddle is to all of this, because it's Riddle that made Randy interesting. And the irony for me, at least, is that when Riddle debuted, I didn't find Riddle interesting either.
Ditto.
And now, boom, you have two people who have vastly different personalities but zero charisma, put them together, and all of a sudden, it's like Isaac Newton figuring out physics again. It's like, oh, look at this. Now, boom, positive reactions, and things happen.
Unlike the scenario that transpired at SummerSlam revolving around the SmackDown Women's Championship, there was speculation the night before SummerSlam as to whether or not Sasha Banks was actually going to be on the card. The way things worked out, they were both pulled from Friday Night SmackDown to do a promo for the match. However, once the pre-show started, they started hyping the match hot and heavy. So most people are sitting back going, okay, whatever it is, it must not have been an injury. They probably got some stuff worked out, and the match is going to take place, and chances are Bianca's going to retain against Banks. So we don't know if it's legitimately – I don't know at this point in time on August 26th if it's a legit injury or if she was just throwing a fit or she wanted more money or a better schedule or blah, blah, blah. I don't know. And I'm not going to go into the traditional hypothesis, hyperbole, and hype over it. It really doesn't matter that much to me. But lo and behold, the ring announcer makes the comment, Sasha Banks will not be able to, and then they bring out Carmella. Oh, boy.
Carmella, who was a walking fart in church.
I'm just, look, this is not personal. Carmella on television in this current incarnation, I will agree to fart in church. I also, it's like, is she trying to figure out if her outfit can be smaller than Charlotte's and get away with it? She's already had a wardrobe malfunction. That footage made its way around the net, and everybody in production said, thank God for double-sided tape. But the minute she came out, I'm sitting back going, didn't she just lose the other night to Bianca? And I'm sitting back going, something's got to be up. And then all of a sudden, Becky Lynch's music hits. Lynch comes down, pretty much blows off the other two, goes around, gets the adulation from the crowd, then turns around, grabs the mic and says, why don't you and I tear the house down? Two moves later, match over, new champ. What the hell? Could you make any sense out of that, Zerdress?
No. And that's where WWE really dropped the ball, because apparently Becky was the one that wanted the heel change. All right, well, if Becky is the one that wants the heel change, and that's how you're booking the match, did you smarten up the announcers to that and maybe after plant the seed of, maybe having Michael Clueless say, oh, my God, Becky won the title, but, how sporting was that, and plant the seed to at least, telegraph the fact that they're trying to turn Becky heel. I mean, obviously they might be a little bit gun shy because the last time they tried to do it and turned Becky heel, it turned Charlotte heel and she turned into the man.
Yep.
I really blame the production on this. If whatever Sasha's issues kept her from being in that match, they should have just pulled Bianca. They should not have done it. Yes, they did it for the cheap pop in front of the 51,000 supposed fans in Allegiant Stadium, and it looked full. The parts that weren't tarped off, it did look full. So, it's 60 plus thousand for football. With the tarp off, yeah, I could believe about 51,000. That seems to be a believable 51,000. But they did it for the cheap pop for just that SummerSlam moment. Because SummerSlam's going to be bigger than WrestleMania now, brother.
Problem with that theory, because during the show, they announced that they were going to bring Money in the Bank to Allegiant Stadium next year.
Which, I'm not crapping all over immediately. They've been wanting to make that the fifth big show. And if this is going to be their new model to where they're going to run their five big shows, so Mania, Rumble, Money in the Bank, Survivor Series, and SummerSlam from big stadiums now, you have to have great booking going into it, which they haven't done, but they have a year now to figure that out. B, you have to have an engaging product, which more and more WWE fans are starting to turn away from the product just because they're tired of having their intelligence insulted.
Agreed.
And three, it has to be a spectacle. In that regard, they succeed because Money in the Bank is a built-in spectacle. It is built for the massive crowd pops. If you look back at some of the more successful Money in the Bank matches that they've had, they were the ones that were at Mania 22, Mania 23, 24, 25, 26, before they stopped doing them at Mania. 21 was interesting because it was held within the confines of the Staples Center before WWE had the confidence to get back into the stadiums. They were just hitting the marquee arenas. And if that kind of set the bar, once they decided that they were going to do Mania 22 outdoors in a stadium, that upped the risk factor, that upped the excitement factor. And when you spotlight this is the event, the Money in the Bank match is the main event. It's going to open the show. It's going to close the show. I want to fly down to Vegas for that. Hell, I might even drive. I might rent an RV and drive down to Vegas for that. you might as well make a weekend out of it. That's exciting to me. If they were to say, hey, we're bringing back WWE Vengeance, and it's going to emanate from whatever they're calling Seattle Seahawk Field in Seattle nowadays, CenturyLink Field or whatever, nobody would be rushing to hit that checkout button the second tickets go on for sale online. But because there's a spectacle, because there's a history, and they can build off of that, anything that they can do to wipe away the memory of that cluster F that was the 20 Money in the Bank match at Titan Towers, I'm all for. So let's see, because this is really going to be the test, I think. There's a camp that says Money in the Bank is played out, it's over, it's done, it's jumped the shark, it's Fonzie, put it to rest. There are other people that are still excited about this. So this gives it an opportunity to breathe that new infusion of fresh air that it's needed, and give it its own spotlight. This is basically a make or break for the Money in the Bank concept, in my opinion. But I think it's a ballsy move to do it.
I think it's, I do think it takes a lot of stones to really be able to sit back and say, we're going to do this, when you have so many people on message boards and social media going, why not just move the Money in the Bank match back to WrestleMania? Or put it on not Survivor Series. I was going to say Royal Rumble, but it's like, no, because you've already got everybody booked in the Rumble to begin with. I legitimately think that Money in the Bank should be on WrestleMania. There's times when you don't have enough viable storylines to genuinely fill a 3 to 4 hour pay-per-view card. Now, granted, SummerSlam went, 4:16 this year?
Mm-hmm.
Which I was slightly dismayed due to the fact that they were talking about a start time of 6 p.m. Central. I tune in at 6, and it's the pre-show. I didn't care to watch the pre-show.
Well, it's because the Pacquiao fight got bumped.
Oh.
So the original plan was go live 7 Eastern, be done by 10 Eastern, so that the people that had tickets to go to the Pacquiao fight would have time to get out of Allegiant, head down the strip a couple of miles and to the MGM Grand, and go see the Pacquiao fight. Once that got bumped, WWE basically had carte blanche to do whatever they wanted on Saturday, because that pay-per-view window that had already been scheduled was now open. There was no way that the pay-per-view companies were going to be able to fill that.
Right.
So WWE says, hey guys, how about this? Just, we'll go on at 6 and fill some of that window for you. Maybe you give us a little extra, you know, scratch off the buy rate. Or so I wouldn't, with the way Nick Khan is running the financials of that company, I would not be surprised if that was the deal that was struck. And if that was the deal that was struck, that was actually pretty brilliant as well.
It was. And I know that Nick Khan has actually been doing a couple of interviews over the last few weeks about everything, a lot of things that are going on. And there are a lot of people who are upset at some of the things that Khan has been doing. It's refueled the speculation that WWE is about to be full scale up for sale, which if it is, it is. If it's not, it's not. I would personally, but by the same token, I know that a lot of people on message boards, social media, they're like, Vince just needs to step down and let Triple H take over. Well, apparently that's not going to happen. And I think if anybody thought that it was genuinely going to stay in the family, I think that's also been shot to hell as well. You know, a lot of people are looking at Disney. You've got some looking at Xfinity and Comcast. And you've got others who are still considering the idea that Fox could be the one to pull the buyout. You still got.
I have a theory about how all this could be forced. So finish your thought, and then I'm going to blow your mind with some ridiculous logic.
Okay. The fun part of the scenario for me is you do have the great working arrangement with Fox for SmackDown. Fox does have other networks in play, of course, FS1. Now, also, we go to play with Disney, and their number of active networks that would suit WWE is smaller, even though they have more on the ESPN bracket. What are we going to do? Are we going to put 205 Live on Disney XD right before reruns of Phineas and Ferb? You've got Raw that has, and of course, remember, Peacock, NBC Universal. And you've got Monday Night Raw, which is on an NBC Universal network, USA. The app is over there domestically for the next few years. And now that, this is another little thing that I want to throw in there, sidebar. Considering the fact that that introductory special for those who had the WWE Network, you could get 4 months of Peacock for $10, like $2.50 a month. Well, that introductory special has now gone the way of the yellow speckled dodo bird. I'm not one of those that jumps up and down about, well, if they make me mad, I'm going to cancel the network. Okay, look, I've always said, if you're going to cancel the damn thing, just cancel the damn thing. Who cares? And I don't see genuine viability in me keeping yet another streaming service paying additional money for something or paying more money than I really want to pay. So that's the question mark. It's like I'm looking at what could be the next couple of pay-per-views for WWE, and I just don't see a genuine reason. Because as long as NXT is on USA and not exclusive to the network, they don't come out with that many eye-popping specials that are really going to get my attention. So therein lies, and NBC Universal Peacock, there's some shows that are on there that are cute, they're cool, you know, flashback. And then I just don't see that much more to keep my attention. I mean, I already have Amazon Prime, our Prime Video. I already have Netflix, which that's about to go away. If they jack up that price one more time, I'm done. I don't care if they do have Gabriel Iglesias and Jeff Dunham both on there. I may switch over to HBO Now. I haven't decided yet. There's some stuff, there's some different apps out there, but once again, now that that introductory special has gone bye-bye, I have to question myself. It's like, do I really want to keep Peacock? Is WWE going to keep my attention to where, and over the last week, so far not so much. NXT was good. Takeover was good. Now that is partial incentive, but they only run Takeover once every 2 months, 2 to 3. So it's like, okay, get it for a month, drop it again. And their next major pay-per-view that actually is going to grab people's attention, Survivor Series? Are they going to go ahead and do Brock and Roman at Survivor Series? Let me stop there, because with the return, that trigger being pulled, and Lesnar coming back at SummerSlam, I know that a lot of people have short-term memory. Unlike Ted and I, who have reasons for it, we've taken 6 too many chair shots to the head by different people, some who know how to swing a chair and others who don't, but swear they do. And I'm not, okay, yes, the pop was great, the pop was beautiful, it was a desperation move by Vince in my book to pull the trigger to get Lesnar back out there. I like my original idea, and if they could have just ridden the storm, you know, you're going to lose a battle or two, and the advent of CM Punk on that Friday night, and remember, it was in Chicago, his hometown, and Jim Ross used the word Jordan-esque. I think the ovation for Punk was louder than the one for Michael Jordan when he returned to the Bulls. It created the buzz that moved the needle for AEW. So, of course, the Fed feels like we've got to do something to match or beat it. I don't think popping the cork on Lesnar was that move. They should have waited. They have time. The buzz over Punk is going to die down in a month or so. And that's going to put the onus on them to contend. Now, granted, yes, I know, folks. But what about Brian Danielson? But what about Adam Cole? But what about Braun Strowman? But what about Wyndham Rotunda, The Fiend? Or, Bray Wyatt, all of the above. Well, what about all those? We're getting to that point that I was afraid of when AEW was conceived. You don't need to bring in everybody that WWE cuts. And I love a good conspiracy. Trust me, and this year's been full of them. what's to stop anybody from genuinely thinking that Vince and Nick Khan aren't cutting people with high dollar salaries, knowing that Tony Khan can't resist himself, just can't help himself, and will try to bring in some of these people to continue to build his company? Here's the problem. AEW's been doing good about building their own talent. Punk is an anomaly. Daniel Bryan's going to be an anomaly. The fun part of these guys is they'll also be able to work with Impact, NWA, Ring of Honor, New Japan. I'm good with that. It's not all just going to be one network. But in this case, coming back to the original run, I think they blew it by pulling the trigger on Lesnar this soon. They should have waited to the Royal Rumble. They should have built the super fight, Lesnar-Lashley at WrestleMania in Dallas, and blew the roof off that place. I know that's a lot to unpack, Ted, but I'm just going to go and say, take your best shot and have fun with it.
So I texted you when Punk came out and said, coffin meat now. So I think what I want to do here is I actually kind of want to expound on how Punk's return can tie in with forcing WWE's sale and who a dark horse might be able to swoop in and take it.
Okay.
So I actually think the first nail in the coffin was driven in when AEW picked up Malakai Black. The second nail, obviously, is the return of CM Punk to professional wrestling. The third one, in my opinion, within the next couple of weeks, is going to be Adam Cole, followed by Bryan Danielson, followed by Bray Wyatt. So those are five of the six nails in WWE's coffin. The sixth nail, and you and I think, are going to have a difference of opinion on this, because you're right in one sense where AEW doesn't need to be snatching up everyone that WWE releases. However, WWE is releasing people essentially the nose, cutting off the nose to spite its own face. They released one of their biggest prototype, in-house, built-from-scratch WWE monsters that Vince likes in Braun Strowman. You have somebody who could move the needle when it came to merchandising better than John Cena, and that was
Bray Wyatt.
Bray Wyatt, thank you. My brain just shut down for a second.
It's okay.
You have probably one of the most over individuals in NXT who was brought in from the indies, continued to work the indie style and work that around the WWE style, and for 4 years was the top heel in the hottest brand under the WWE umbrella, and that is Adam Cole. Bryan Danielson is Bryan Danielson. You don't even need to bring up his resume because it just speaks for itself. And then Bray, and then we already talked about Bray. But the final nail in that coffin, in my opinion, would be TNT. Once they have all these nails in place, once they've gone out through All Out, once they've gone through Double or Nothing, once they've gotten six plus months of work rate out of these guys, then TNT makes the decision to move Dynamite to Monday night to reignite a new Monday Night War. And this is not going to be like when TNA moved to Monday night and try to rely on Hogan's name value. The people that watch AEW on Wednesday night are the people that are frustrated by what they're seeing on Monday night and are not watching the product anymore. Move them over to Monday night. You avoid doing the gimmicky NWO, let's get everybody under the heel banner thing. Just continue to produce good, solid wrestling with good, solid wrestling stories after a couple of years of getting their ass kicked in the ratings, that will be finally when Vince McMahon throws his hands up and sells the company, because he doesn't have the ability to go through yet another Monday Night War. This isn't 20 years ago when he was still in his 50s and most of his marbles were still rolling around in his head. He's in his 70s. I question whether he is physically healthy or not. The pictures, the videos, his appearances on TV, he looks like Barry Bonds during the height of the Balco steroid scandal, where his head is three times bigger than his body. I just question what his health status is, and you know, if TNT is able to push those buttons and gets WWE to sell, I do not see it outside of the realm of possibility for Tony Khan to hire on Eric Bischoff to oversee the acquisition of WWE.
Funny. Nicely played.
Pick away.
Nicely played. Not going to. I mean, I don't know how overall realistic it is, but by the same token, you know something? This is pro wrestling. Anything can happen, and we prove that every damn week. So many different things transpiring, and I know that with our schedules, we were going to actually concentrate on keeping this show this week about an hour, maybe an hour and a half. And with everything happening, I know that we're getting ready for week zero in college football. I want to throw this one out there before I let it slip, and I apologize for waiting this long. The National Wrestling Alliance, NWA 73, this weekend, Fight TV, folks, I will tell you what, I'm looking forward to both Empower from the National Wrestling Alliance as well as NWA 73 at the Chase. I'm going to be that person for a second there. And this is only because I've had dealings with this individual through various means. When it was announced that Ric Flair was returning to the National Wrestling Alliance for NWA 73, I just, first thing popped in my head is, God, I hope Billy Corgan has another album coming out real soon so he has the money to back up for this, because God knows. Now, times are different. I get that. I was working with a company called Global Championship Wrestling. We had Ric Flair live in his first appearance after leaving WWE. We got screwed so horribly by him and his agent. I got no problem with that. And Ric is a person that I actually used to hang with, technically speaking, because I was myself and some of the other people, you know, Ric just happened to be there after the shows, Phoenix Lounge, Ramada Inn, Airport, Atlanta. Hello, a lot of fun was had by all. And the next year, down in Pensacola, Florida, I was basically given cold shoulder blow off, acting like he didn't even remember who the hell I was, even though we bought each other rounds of drinks. So, yeah. That just stuck with me. And then the way that he treated, he was gold to a number of people at the show that we, that he was on with Global. Once again, I tried to sit back and say, all right, we'll blow it off. Leave that one to a different day and time. And he pulled the same crap again at the Zamora Shrine Temple at GCW after we were bringing him in. So it's like, screw him. Okay, I'm done. Ric Flair being on NWA 73 does not impress me in the GD least. So, the male whore's at it again. Now, your results may vary. I've heard that some people have met Ric in different circumstances, inside and outside of conventions, all of the above, and he's been gracious, cordial, and all of the above. I've also heard that he's given other people the same treatment that he gave me. So it's like, you know something? I don't care. I don't care if Flair's on. I would rather just not keep that in play. Is his appearance going to deter me from getting it? No. I'll get it in spite of him. but it damn sure won't be because of him. And when I heard that he had gotten his release from WWE, oh, I just sat back and wondered, how long is it going to be before he made an appearance somewhere? Oh, AAA, right with Andrade versus Kenny Omega. Didn't see that coming, said no one ever. I guarantee you, the minute that contract is up, Ashley Flair will be All Elite. I jokingly said Ashley Queen will be All Elite. Get the whole damn family down there. Why not? But I also, on a lighter note, making a reference to NWA Empower, I want to give a very heartfelt tip of the hat to Mickey James and everybody in her coalition that helped put this show together for Saturday night. I think it's absolutely incredible. The talent that they're bringing in for this is, it's must see. Legit, it is. And I appreciate the way, and you knew I had to get the shot in sooner or later. I appreciate the way that Empower is picking up that ball that WWE is dropping. The Belladonna division, another company, picked up that ball that the WWE is dropping. I've said it before, I'll say it again, Impact has the best women's division in pro wrestling right now. And I think AEW might be catching up, but by the same token, they also did sign Thunder Rosa to a long-term deal. Tremendously gifted in-ring performer. Charismatic as the day is long. It factor, and then some. But once again, if you get the opportunity and you are free Friday night, or you don't even have to get it Friday night, you can get the replay through Fight. Check it out this weekend. NWA Empower, looking forward to it. 73, definitely looking forward to that one as well.
Damn, I know I have to change the name of my all women's event that I was going to do in October for breast cancer research fundraising, because I was calling mine Empower too. God damn it.
Beep. Hate it when that happens.
Yeah.
I don't know if they have it trademarked or not, but you may have a problem on your hands on that one.
Yeah, I'm not going to push that. I'll figure out a new name. I'm creative.
Well, like I said, and coming out of SummerSlam, you know, I'm just going to go ahead and sit back and say this very clearly. I gave SummerSlam SummerSlam. I gave it a C+. I called a lot of it fan service to the nth degree. I mean, you had Edge going over Rollins, and I'm sorry, Edge versus Seth Rollins. I'm not a huge Seth Rollins fan, but that match in and of itself just made my best of the year candidacy. Plain and simple on that one. And a couple of the matches on TakeOver were right up there as well. Ilja Walter. Walter, damn. That's another one that's going to make that list. I'm still sitting back going, remember, we're coming out of Wrestle Kingdom actually started my match of the year candidacies. A couple of matches on that one, both nights. But, you know, like I said, I looked at it more as fan service, especially Big E getting the case back. Alexa going over the waste of space. This whole thing with Eva Marie, it is such a waste of time. It is such a waste of space. Vince, you can't get her over. You can't make people care about her. People care more.
Sure I can, pal. It just took me 6 years with Roman.
People care more about that damn doll than they do Eva Marie. I think the doll has more talent. It can wink. But where the original destination on this one is, we are headed for week zero in college football this weekend.
Yes.
Football. I'm sorry. I really don't pay attention to NFL preseason. The only three things in this world that preseason is good for is Las Vegas, getting injured, and owners making more money than, well, the players and the owners both making more money, allegedly. They, I prefer my games to have some kind of meaning to them. Other than that, it's like, we're just going to do a scrimmage to where somebody can get hurt, and it's already happening. But, like I said, week zero in college football, really not showing a whole hell of a lot, because I think there are only somewhere in the neighborhood of, what, six games that are going to be taking place on week zero?
I don't know. I know Boise State has one, I want to say next Wednesday.
Let's see. Saturday, August 28th. Ah, goose nuts. Oh, come back. You hit the wrong button, Eddie. There we go. Nebraska at Illinois, 1 p.m. UConn, Fresno State. Hawaii at UCLA. UTEP at New Mexico State. And Southern Utah at San Jose State. So this is pretty much leaning toward a Western bias big time, which I'm okay with. I really think there are a lot of teams out west that people out over here in the eastern half of the country could really stand to take a look at. Legitimately, I think there's a lot of things that are missing. And then, of course, when week one hits, I'm sorry, folks, you know where my eyes are going to be glued. I mean, Wednesday, September 1st, UAB in Montgomery, Alabama, taking on Jacksonville State, the Battle of Bama. I'm actually hoping to be at that game, situation permitting, 7:30 p.m. Eastern, 6:30 Central start time, and Montgomery's only an hour and a half down the road from me. I'm in. If tickets are still available and I'm able to make sure I can get off that day, I will go down there for that game. I'll definitely be at Protective in October for the UAB home opener and the Protective Stadium opener.
And Thursday, September 2nd, Boise State takes on UCF.
Yeah.
College football team with one of the worst defenses in college football last year. And they're going to be playing at the Bounce House in Orlando, Florida.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah. That just instills confidence in the home team. Tickets as low as $18.
Yeah, what is this? Speaking of ticket prices, I think the New Orleans Saints are undergoing a major embarrassment right now.
Oh, I didn't hear that. What's going on with that?
Some people are selling off their tickets as low as a dollar because the dome is only going to allow people who are vaccinated into the stadium.
Oof.
Yeah, New Orleans went off the deep end.
Yeah. But, hey, you know what? Look, I'm actually kind of in favor of that. Whether you believe in the mask or not, whether you believe in the vaccine or not, whether you even believe COVID is a thing. Look, I know people that have COVID that have gotten it. Pat McAfee got COVID at Allegiant Stadium. And he's fully vaccinated. So even with all those protections, you know, it's just like Cole Beasley, I think, of the Bills is on the COVID IL because he was a close contact. And I was listening to Rich Eisen on the radio the other day, and he made a very salient point when it comes to this. He was talking about an interview that Jerry Jones had given. And essentially what it boils down to is, you know, you can have your beliefs within the confines of your own personal realm. But when you are on a team, you have to do everything possible to help to help the team win. And by not showing up vaccinated and taking at least the preliminary precaution of that, that you are not doing everything within your power to help the team win. So, I mean, I can understand that to a degree, but, you know, at the same time, we're so, you know, the country is still so split and everything is so politicized. Nothing can be just what it is without a political slant from left, right, up, down, in, out, whatever, wherever it's going to come from. There's got to be political slant to everything. And if you just peel the layers of all that garbage away and just realize that there is a virus, it makes people sick, there is a vaccine, it may not be 100% effective, but it may not make you as sick as if you don't have the vaccine. These are things that have been proven. These are just pure, simple facts. We're not even talking about science. It's just fact.
Well, do me a favor.
So you have to be able to protect your fan base. You have to be able to protect your fans. You have to be able to protect the players, the coaches, the concession, the security people, the ushers. Everybody that is involved in that has to do their due diligence to, you know, to help their team win.
I am not. I never have been, nor will I ever be, in the camp of an anti-vaxxer. I don't believe that this vaccine is for everyone, though. And excuse me, I can't call it a vaccine. It's an inoculation. The reason why, the one thing that has been overlooked over the last couple of months is those of us, that have had COVID and come through it, short term, long haul, doesn't matter. And we have the antibodies in our system. Now, if you have been through COVID and you have not had the vaccine inoculation, jab, whatever it's called, you can actually, if you are able to, give blood for research and development to make therapeutics that work. I'm not going to go on a tangent about hydroxychloroquine and the steroid side or the ivermectin or anything else or the Regeneron, which Regeneron is actually based on the antibodies themselves. But still, the people who have had it that actually have a higher level of immunity have been forgotten in all this. Everybody is entitled to their opinion. You have the right to your opinion, kids. How you choose to believe in this circumstance is entirely up to you. But like I said, and this is something that I was told by my doctor, and actually I got a second opinion that concurred from a doctor who didn't know the first. Because of the fact that I do give blood, because of the antibodies in my T cells, I can't. I have a medical exemption from the inoculation at this point in time. When that count fades, then I'll cross that bridge when we come to it. The part that I encourage everyone, 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 sit down, read, get the hell off Twitter. Sit down and read real science studies, real scientific studies.
It's too hard.
Don't
Kim
care.
Kim Kardashian is telling us how to change our nail colors into three different colors with one brush, and you want us to read science? You're mean.
Damn right I am, buddy.
God, I felt dirty for even doing that.
Yeah, I know. You brought up Kim Kardashian. You got that look in your eye, I can tell.
And I got that rumbling in my stomach that's making me want to hurl all over my 40-inch screen.
No, that was just White Castle.
Oh.
God knows for me it's Crystal.
Oh man, I finally got my Crystal, by the way.
Cool.
I was so excited. Here's the weird thing. I could only eat four crystals now. I used to be able to put a 24-pack away without even thinking.
Ditto that.
But nope, for me, four crystals and that was enough.
But the quick wrap up on this whole scenario with coronavirus, COVID-19, whatever you want to call it, I don't care. Everybody has their little nickname for it. That's up to you kids. I will never sit back and say, you must get the shot. I won't do that. They don't have enough money to make me say that. I will never say, you don't get the shot. I won't do that. They don't have enough money to make me say that. What I will say is probably just as unpopular. Take the time, study, learn, and become educated. And find out through a conversation with your doctor or a real medical professional, not Dr. Google, what the best course of action for you is. if you have built antibodies and are basically in a better position than you would be with the jab, let your doctor, let your physician, let your medical professional be the one to tell you that. But once again, if you've been through it and you haven't had the jab, give blood. Get the antigen test. See how strong your antibody level is in your blood. And give blood. Because medical science is working on better therapeutics virtually daily. Once again, I'm not saying don't get it. I'm saying become educated and do what's best for you. Get the right advice from a medical professional who has your best interest at heart. If your doctor thinks the jab's the best thing, then do it. If the doctor doesn't, then once again, follow the medical advice. That's all I'm doing. That's all I'm saying. I'm just saying, be smart, get educated, and then do what's best. Now, we're going to work on timing as far as scheduling from this point. I was hoping Shane would have been wrapped up with trivia and would have been able to come on by now. But in his absence, which of course Shane is hosting Useless Trivia tonight, Ted, I'm going to throw this one at you. You and I are both fans of music.
Yep.
There are two non-human entities, to my knowledge, it could be more, but these are two that I know of from a particular timeline, that have scored top 40 hits. Do you know either or both of those non-human entities?
I would have zero idea.
You're going to kick yourself when I tell you.
Okay.
Well, in the rock era, there have been two non-human entities that have come up with top 40 hits. Number one, you know, Rick Dees had Disco Duck, but this first one came up with a song that everybody seemed to like about his rubber ducky.
Oh, my God.
Do you know who I'm talking about?
Yep.
One half of the combination of Bert and Ernie, Ernie with Rubber Ducky.
Jesus.
Made the top 40.
If the other one's Barney, nope. I'm lighting people on fire.
I don't think that one made it, but the other one is even more obvious now that I've told you the first one. Because you know it ain't easy being green.
You gotta be kidding me. Kermit the Frickin' Frog.
Hi-o, Kermit the Frog here.
With Rainbow Connection.
Jam. Well, at least it wasn't Barney. Because I would have had to pull a Rafi from the league and do something unspeakably unhuman.
Of course, you realize at any one particular point in time, once every 10 to 15 minutes, someone is still buying an album by ABBA.
It's because ABBA's awesome.
I'll agree to that. I did not know that there were that many ABBA tribute groups out there. I had insomnia yesterday, so I started YouTube searching because I know that and it's supposed to start late this year or early next year in 2022, but the virtual concert with the Avatars.
Now, see, what I want to see is I want to see an ABBA tribute band who dresses up like the Stone Age and call them Yabba Abba.
Oh, that's funny.
Thank you.
My hat's off to you. I'll be here all week. And try the veal. I'm here through Thursday. Try the veal. It's been a while since I've watched Shrek, so I can't remember the vocal intonation pattern Mike Myers used on that one.
It's a pretty good Scottish accent.
Lower
Scotland, not Upper Scotland. Because Upper Scotland, you can't understand a freaking word they say. Because half their language is bastardized English, and the other half is Gaelic.
And then I'll also throw this one at you. Folks, if you have not watched the new incarnation from the, technically the animated MCU, the new series What If over on Disney+, check it out. Now, I have seen the first one with Captain Carter. I started the second one. later tonight, if I get insomnia again and I can remember it, I'm actually going to go all the way through episode 2 and 3 of What If. And then, of course, you've got The Legend of the Ten Rings coming up. You've got Spider-Man 3 coming up.
Which looks insane. Welcome back, Alfred Molina. And from what I'm hearing, Willem Dafoe. Yes, please. Shut up and take my kids' college tuition.
I'm trepidatious about it. I've watched the trailer for Spider-Man 3 three times, if not four. And my gut instinct is telling me they went way too far on this.
Of course they did. Doctor Strange is in it.
Yeah.
I like the way that the trailer sets it up. I like the possibility that it brings. Look, and you know me probably better than most people. You know that I don't mark out for many things anymore. I marked out for this.
Like I said, I'm nervous about it. I'm trepidatious about it. I will approach this very guardedly, but by the same token, I'm very open about this, about the way I look at it. I can walk into a theater with no preconceived notions, especially after I screwed up on Iron Man 3. Yeah, I did. And this is exactly what I did on this. When Iron Man 3 came out in theaters, I beelined it. Because where it took place as far as the release timeline went, not the MCU timeline, but the overall as it was being released, I'm sitting back going, okay, this is going to be a continuation of certain storylines from the Avengers, da-da-da-da-da. I get there, and no, it's not. And I was tremendously disappointed in Iron Man 3. And then as I was leaving the theater, I'm sitting back going, what happened to you forgetting about the fact that just because Iron Man is part of the Avengers doesn't mean everything in his comic book was Avengers related. It wasn't. So I had to go back. I rewatched Iron Man 3 as a standalone part of the Iron Man timeline, Iron Man series, and I much better reception in my brain. I threw out all the preconceived that this might, you might just get other people from the Avengers showing up in this. And it's like, okay, I'm good. Yeah. Iron Man 3, I enjoyed the movie. A little bit overly dramatic at points, but it was still a good movie. I enjoyed it. The one that most people still laugh at is I still haven't seen Thor: The Dark World.
Oh God. So that was the movie that snake bit me for Marvel. Because, you know, they had the nice run. They had Iron Man. They had Thor. They had Captain America at that point. And then, so they came out with Thor 2, and I beelined it there as well. And was horribly disappointed. Horribly disappointed in it. It was so bad. In fact, it is the only Marvel movie that I have sat through that I actually contemplated asking for my money back.
Yeah.
And surprisingly, what got me back on track with the MCU was Guardians.
Yeah, it'll do it.
And, you know, now I'm interested. I have no interest in seeing the first two Suicide Squad Abomination movies. But the latest one that's directed by James Gunn, I'm interested in seeing, because if he can bring that same style of irreverent humor to the Suicide Squad, as well as build it around a good story like he did with Guardians.
Yeah.
You all of a sudden you've reinvigorated the franchise.
And over on the other side of the coin, on DC's side, I'm sorry, Shazam is still the best one out of the DC cinematic run.
It's Shazam,
then Aquaman,
Wonder Woman, and then everything else is a distant ninth.
Shazam, Wonder Woman 1, then Aquaman. I have tried to watch Wonder Woman 84, and I just went, no.
Aquaman was I would call Aquaman the Drizzly Schlitz, but that would be an insult to the Drizzly Schlitz.
See, I enjoyed Aquaman.
I didn't find it. I personally don't find much enjoyment in anything DC. The only thing that I've really enjoyed coming out of the DC universe is the Nolan Dark Knight series.
Now, also, you've got Titans, which have been over on TNT and HBO now.
I've seen a couple episodes of that.
And
that's wicked stuff.
It depends on which version of it you're seeing. If you're seeing it on TNT, that's one thing. If you're catching it on demand, where it's the uncut version,
it's the on demand.
Yeah.
See, I'm with Dish, and we actually have season one on demand.
Oh, see, there you go. See, Titans is a direct, I think, is a direct correlation to the same type of storytelling that they did on Gotham with the growing up of Bruce Wayne. But it has that same gritty feel. It has that same sense of urgency with the characters that I didn't get in Aquaman, Wonder Woman 84, Man of Steel. I just did not get that sense of urgency with any of those characters.
Right.
And if Titans is going to follow the Gotham path, and let's face it, Fox lets some things get on air with that show that most other networks probably would have had third or fourth glances at, especially the whole Jerome Joker storyline. Not to spoil that, but I mean, even starting from season one with Penguin and what's her name, Jada Pinkett Smith's character, and then, you know, then they get into the mob bosses, and then that's, you know, everything with that episode had really intricate layers to that. And I'm hoping that's what they do with Titans.
Little by little, I'm waiting to see what all happens, because like I said, I'm trying to go back and re-binge as time permits. I mean, I understand that season three of The Boys is supposed to be coming out on Prime Video, and I've still got to go back. I want to go back and re-catch series two. Because okay, The Boys on Prime Video is a major curveball because of the overall execution of it. And just when you think you've got things figured out in that series, they pop you in the back of the head and say, ha, try this. It's like, assholes. But it's been a good series. The first season of it I really enjoyed. Second season, like I said, I got to go back and rewatch. I was enjoying it for the most part, and I heard the third season's pretty much popped and ready to go. So it's like, little by little, I'm trying to find some stuff out there, but I ended up, oh boy, I ended up watching like six different ABBA tribute bands last night on YouTube, and it's like, wow. And then I woke up. Go ahead.
Oh, good. No, you go ahead and finish. I have a question for you.
No, go ahead, ask.
So, since, you know, you're bringing up things that you're looking for, can you come up with a list of three things that you're looking forward to binge on?
If I actually had it directly in front of me, I would binge Titans right now.
Okay. Two,
I would go back, like I said, I would go back square one and rewatch The Boys.
Okay.
And if they did decide to do a third season of it, which I've heard they are, this is going to throw a curveball at a lot of people. A series that I actually like as a period piece, The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, also on Prime Video.
Huh.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes. So my three would be Heels. Once Heels is fully out on Stars.
That's what I'm waiting on that one, too.
I'll sign up for the month free trial, binge it, cancel it. The other two are on Netflix. The third season of The Umbrella Academy.
Right.
Which is probably one of the best things on Netflix today. And then the other one is Peaky Blinders.
Now, you mentioned Netflix, and there's one that I actually, I've mentioned it here on the show before. And I would go back and watch this one again from part one in a heartbeat, and that's The Ranch. Because you see sides of Sam Elliott and Deborah Winger that just absolutely are television friendly. I mean, I'm not a huge... I will watch Danny Masterson before I'll watch Kutcher. Because Ashton, to me, is a one-trick pony. Always has been, always will be. Case in point, 2 1/2 Men. The show that died when Charlie Sheen left, even though they managed to keep it on life support for a couple more years. But you know, that's the way it goes. But yeah, there's some other stuff out there that I'd actually like to go back and watch. But as far as right here, right now, if I had it directly in front of me, Titans would be the top of the list. But, well, tell you what, let's go ahead and do this. And we're going to head off in that direction because, like I said, Ted and I were both hoping that, Shane would be able to call in. Unfortunately, that did not work, but let's do this rapid fire style because even though we're still in preseason and preseason's only good for Las Vegas and Ooh. getting hurt, Friday, August 27th, let's go ahead and go with them. You got the Colts at the Lions. Your dress.
Hang on a second. Let me pull up the schedule here. Wow, I didn't know we were doing spring training I didn't know we were doing training camps ourselves. Let's see. Colts, Lions, Colts, obviously.
Going Colts on that one. Steelers, Panthers. Panthers at home.
Depends on how much the starting offense goes for Pittsburgh, but I like Carolina in this one.
Same here, actually. I got the Panthers. The 0-2 Eagles versus the 2-0 Jets. Jets at home.
I'm going to go with the Jets.
Same here.
Someone swapped their Gatorade for G Fuel, and it lit a fire under their ass.
Amen. The 0-2 Vikings on the road to the 2-0 KC Chiefs.
The 27th string for Kansas City could beat the first string of Minnesota any day of the week. Give me KC in a blowout.
Saturday, August 28th, you've got the 0-2 Green Bay Packers on the road to the 2-0 Bills.
Oh, I'm going to go with the Bills.
I got the Bills at home on this one, too. I think the home teams have got a lot to prove on this one. The 2-0 Ravens on the road to the 1-1, say it.
The Fighting Washington Apple Football Warriors of D.C., baby!
I got Washington at home.
You know what? Why not? It's preseason. It doesn't count.
Right.
It's like playing... getting $100 in free credits at the craps table and putting it all on the hard on the pass line and hitting a 7.
And or a hard 8.
Ooh. Sucker bets. 25-1 though. That's what it's paying now.
Yeah, I know. And it only comes off if you get the soft 8.
Yeah.
Of course that's an easy one to hit too. 5-3, 6-2. Yeah, that's it. Took me a second. Let's see. The 1-1 Bears on the road to my Tennessee Titans. I got the Titans at home.
Yeah. The Titans are looking dangerous now, especially with that revamped receiving core.
Yeah, buddy.
Picking up Julio Jones from Atlanta was massive for them. I think it's definitely going to open up a dimension of Tennessee's offense that they were sorely lacking last year. So, yeah, give me Tennessee.
1-1 Cardinals on the road to the New Orleans Saints.
Ooh. I don't know. Have the Saints officially announced a starter for week one yet, or are they still trying to figure it out?
I'm going blind.
Okay. I still think they're trying to figure out whether they're going to go with Jameis Winston or another direction. I'm going to go with Arizona.
I'm going Arizona on the road. The 0-2 Buccaneers against the 2-0 Texans. Who the hell thought that the Houston Texans would be 2-0 at this point in the preseason?
It's preseason. I don't even think Tampa Bay plays their starters or even half their second string. I'm going to go Houston in this one.
I got Houston at home on this one. The 0-2 Rams on the road against the 2-0 Broncos.
I'm going to go with Denver, and kudos to the coaching staff out there for naming Teddy Bridgewater the starting quarterback for the Denver Broncos.
Yep.
Drew Locke has been the weakest part of that offense for the last couple of years, but he hasn't been able to figure it out yet. So let's bring in Teddy Ballgame. He has a track record, so... Denver just made themselves a little bit more dangerous in the AFC West.
Give me Denver at home. The 0-2 Seahawks hosting the 1-1 Chargers.
I'm going to go with the Chargers.
Make it two of us. Then the Sunday lineup. The 0-3 Cowboys. I'm sorry. It's preseason. I know it doesn't effing matter, okay? It's kind of like preseason college football rankings. They don't mean a effing thing.
Right.
The 0-3 Cowboys host the 0-2 Jags.
I'm going to go with the Jaguars. And I think you're going to get a lot of, you're going to get heavy Trevor Lawrence in this game to get him ready for week one.
Give me the Cowboys at home on this one. For some reason, my gut saying, yeah, they're finally going to break that zero. The 1-1 Bengals host the 1-1 Dolphins.
You know, last year, if this game came out on the schedule, everyone would be wondering what else was on. This is interesting. Burrows versus Tua. If this was a regular season game, and I think they're probably going to see a half of action each. I'm going to go with Cincinnati in this one.
I got the Dolphins on the road.
Okay.
The 1-1 49ers against the 2-0 Raiders.
I'm going to go with the Raiders.
Surprise.
Well, no. So, you know, yeah, I'm a homer. I'll admit it. But I also look at them at them very logically.
Yep.
We talked about this, you, me, and Shane, when we were outside after eating at the Mellow Mushroom in Alabama. We talked about it. You know, my biggest fear is, can the Raiders shut down the long pass, anything 15 yards or deeper? They're showing that they're able to, at least in preseason, step up to that. If they can continue to build on that, it's a great launching pad for them. So I'm going to go Raiders because this is going to be a heavily spotlighted defensive game for the Raiders.
It's going to be on the, it's supposed to be on the NFL Network. 3 o'clock slot. I got the Raiders also. The 2-0 Patriots on the road to the 0-2 Giants.
I'm going to go with the Patriots, and we're still waiting to hear who they're going to announce as their starting quarterback.
Yeah, that's going to be a minute. I got the Patriots also. And then, of course, the 0-2 Falcons host the 2-0 Browns.
Oh, going with the Browns all day long.
Give me my Falcons at home.
You can have them.
Okay.
And we'll give you Delaware, too, because no one's really using Delaware.
I'd rather have Vermont, even though they don't have a Division I football team.
Now, see, you know, people are using Vermont.
Oh, okay. I almost caught that. Too many one-liners involved in that. Not going to touch any one of them. But tell you what, we are 90 in, so let's go ahead and call it for the Radio Ranch. The address, Ted Guinness, last call and shameless plugs.
Well, my last call is my shameless plug. Digital Wrestling Federation this Sunday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. We are producing our third biggest pay-per-view that we've done so far. It's called Chutes and Ladders. 12 matches, 7 title matches, 3 Chutes and Ladders Money in the Bank contract matches, 2 Elimination Chamber championship matches, and a partridge in a frickin' pear tree. It's going to be crazy. Even if you don't like wrestling, I've figured out a way to make digital wrestling entertaining. So if you want to watch it, twitch.tv/beyonddre, or on my website, beyonddre.com/events. And you can watch the live stream either from Twitch or from the website.
And how can everybody catch you on social?
Dre on Twitch is my only social media avenue at the moment.
Ah, okay. Real quick, once again, folks, got a lot of things that have been changing, other things that will be changing. Like I said, for those who know me personally or on the other side of the world, you know that, of course, once again, I mentioned this during the opening of the show, which, amazingly enough, we didn't do a break on this episode. Holy hell.
Throwbacks to my old Iron Man radio days. I love it.
I know the feeling quite well. But go from there. If you are in the Birmingham metropolitan area or in the Tri-County area, so to speak, drop in and say hi Tuesdays, 7:30 p.m. at Steel Gastro Pub on 7th Avenue South. Same thing on Thursday, starting this coming Thursday, September 2nd. I'll be hosting on Thursday night, 7:30 p.m. 18 and up to sing. They have got a great kitchen with a solid menu. Some great in-house drink specials that are going to be going on that night as well for those of us that are 21 and up. We do ID. From there, BeyondRingside.com is home, as well as ProWrestlingRadio.net. I'm going to go and let everybody know now, if you're listening to this on the replay side, which of course you are, the streaming server that we've been using for Beyond Ringside Sports Radio, I'm going to go ahead and drop that. I recommend everybody pop over to Spreaker. Chances are we're going to be adopting that as our live server in the next couple of weeks. It's just one time too many that server room has dropped the ball and not let us know what's going on. So once again, you can still find us through Podomatic, P-O-D-O-Matic, Spreaker, Stitcher, Spotify, iHeartRadio. There's like 19 different ways you can find it. Trust me on that one. For me personally, FastStudyLane.com is home, as well as, of course, like I said, BeyondRingside.com and ProWrestlingRadio.net. Shane Knowles, miss you, brother. We'll get it together again sometime soon. And of course, there was a lot of things coming out of the anniversary show for Peach State Wrestling Alliance that I was hoping we'd be able to cover tonight. But unfortunately, we were also supposed to have a show last weekend, but situations, no. Yeah, last weekend. But unfortunately, because of situations with the venue, we are forced to reschedule, and looking forward to being able to put that back together in very short order. Find him at Shane Knowles on Twitter, as well as Instagram. And of course, be sure to check out PeachStateWrestlingAlliance.com. New DVDs are going to be coming out as we manage to get the library caught up. And as soon as situations permit, I'm going to be able to sit down and finish retracking the commentary for the anniversary show, especially a couple of matches. But folks, we're going to head for the Radio Ranch. Thank you for hanging out with us. We hope you enjoyed the ride. Until next time, for Shane Knowles, for Zeardreus, Ted Guinness.
And on behalf of Shane Knowles' new favorite wrestler, Big Daddy Pullout, have a great night.
That's funny. Until next time, I am the Magic City Motor Mouth, Fast Eddie Lane, saying join us right here as we all go beyond ringside on the Shooter's Gallery. Bye for now.